This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE.
Welcome to Transformative Principle, where I help you stop putting out fires and start leading. I'm your host, Jethro Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jethro Jones. Welcome to Transformative Principle. Today, I am excited to have Danny Bauer on the program. I think this is our third or fourth, maybe fifth time we've had you on, Danny.
I want to be on your show 100 times.
100
or more. Yeah, before okay. I die.
All right. Well, let's talk more about that. Maybe we can make it happen. If you don't know Danny, then that is a big problem. He is a principal development and retention specialist, a best-selling author, host of two of the world's most downloaded podcasts, and as the chief ruckus maker, he founded Better Leaders, Better Schools in 2015. Well, hey. Welcome to Transformative Principle, Danny.
Jethro, good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I try to have you on every time you release a book, and you're releasing another book, and you're going to be releasing even more books over the coming time. So tell me a little bit about your idea about releasing multiple books over the next couple of years.
Well, I always wanted to experiment, right? And I think that's important for school leaders to adopt a curious and experimental sort of framework and worldview, because to me, when you experiment, the result, it doesn't feel like the stakes are as high. You could still innovate, but if you're telling yourself, well, it's an experiment, if it works, then I'm going to keep, you know, trying to fan the flame, so to speak. And if it doesn't work, whatever that means, it's certainly not failure. I don't believe in that, because you always learn from mistakes and challenges and obstacles and whatever. So I want to run an experiment that's very aligned, right, to the brand and making a ruckus and challenging the status quo and all this kind of stuff. And so my experiment is this: what sort of publisher in our space in education is putting out books consistently that deliver a result in as few words as possible? That's my goal with all these books. And so I'd have to count it up. I don't have it memorized. I know it's under 100, but let's take a look. Yeah, this book, Build Leadership Momentum, the first in this series, this experiment, 71 pages. And I've read it already like 5 times. you do that through the revision process. But anyways, you could read it in an hour, right? So that's pretty sweet. And the content's there. There's no fluff. It just tells you how to create this entry plan. And so what I've been telling folks too is, if you gift yourself like a 3-hour deep work block, you can read that book and you can actually create your entry plan and be done, right? I think that's pretty cool. So that's the experiment I'm running these days.
Well, the reason why I asked you about that is that I have, so in 2021, I read 100 books, and I was like, this is great. I'm reading 100 books. I'm stoked about it. And then I looked back over the year and I hit that goal, and I was like, wait a minute, I read all these books. What have I actually implemented from them? That I'm missing something. And so did I do anything with the information that I got? Did I take good notes, and did I do a good job of actually doing the stuff that I implemented? And so last year I took a little different approach, and I tried to be more focused And then I started reading books and I was like, well, what can I actually do with this? And there wasn't a lot to do. A lot of the books I was reading were about like mindset and shifting my mind. And they didn't really offer specific practical things to do. And so this year I read a book called Positive Intelligence by Shirzad Charmin, and really awesome book, really loved it. And it, I said, I want to actually do the things that are in this. So I joined his coaching program, learning how to improve my positive intelligence. And it's been remarkable. And the thing is like, I didn't just read the book and then move on. I read the book, I sat with it and I stayed with it. And I made sure that I actually implemented something. And what I love about your approach here is that you're trying to deliver an actual result. So let's talk about this book, Build Leadership Momentum. What is the actual result that you're trying to deliver with it?
Well, it's to build that principle, what I call perfect principle entry plan, right? But I'll dig into that too, but I'm just curious and just answer honestly, obviously, but who taught you, if anybody, how to create your principal entry plan back in the day?
Nobody, except one time my superintendent gave me a 250 page book called The First 90 Days. I'm sure you've heard of that book.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That book.
She gave me that book and I did not read it because I was like, this is too much. I'm already overwhelmed. I can't imagine. So I made my entry plans all by myself and just figured out what they would do, which meant that I was flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
Because I don't
same here. Like same here. No, nobody ever taught me, right? And the more I talk to school leaders, the more I hear, yeah, nobody's ever shown me an entry plan. Like, we know we need to start the year off well, and there's all these things that we need to do. Maybe there's like a checklist or something, but not a robust, right, plan that you could actually execute. So before I even wrote this book, it was like a five or six day online challenge where people signed up for free, people that want to hear from me. And I coached them for like 60 to 90 minutes each day for a week, right? How to build this entry plan. They loved it. And so much so, I'm like, oh, okay, like maybe this should be a book then. And it became one. But one of those principals is named John Unger, and he is a principal down in Arkansas. He told me prior to this, because I said, like, what'd you used to do? He said, well, I used to just, you know, stay up at night worried and stressed out about the million things that need to happen. And he said, honestly, Danny, after you taught me this framework, all the stress was gone. It's like, wow, what an endorsement. So I sort of tell people too, if you want a stress-free start to the school year, do the entry plan, right? And so that's pretty cool. But yeah, nobody ever taught me. I can't believe that it's such like a gaping hole, right, in principal development. But that's a fact. And now the book's out there. So yeah, I read that 90-day book, you know, it certainly influenced me. I did a lot of research to see, are there any other books on this topic? And I found some by accident, right? You really, really, really have to search, but they don't come up when you type in entry plan book in Amazon. So that was interesting to say the least at first. But then there is a new one. I forget the title, but it was done by some Harvard researchers too. It's focused on equity, which is an awesome focus. But to your point, it's like 300 something pages, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be dense and it's going to be fairly, you know, like academic. And listen, you know how I talk and how I write. It's easy to digest, right? The ideas are big, but I break it down in a simple way, again, because you and me, we're in the results business.
Yeah. So if someone is already out of school, is this book not really worth it to pick up then?
I would say it depends, right? It depends. I would ask that veteran school leader, what support have you received, right? I don't know of a system like this, but I'm sure they exist for sure. But if there's systems where there's some really intentional coaching and mentorship around entry plans, if entry plans that really are rocking in the system are shared freely across all the campuses to say, like, this is the way, right? Like the Mandalorian, and then use this to as a model, then you probably don't need the book. But what I suspect is most school leaders, you know, never receive that coaching or mentorship or template. And so for sure, if you just got your first principal position, get the book. You need to. For $15, it might be the best $15 you ever spend. And then for veterans that haven't had that coaching mentorship, or they're just looking for a leadership edge, maybe they get one idea that makes their start of the school year that much better. So that's how I'd answer that.
If you've been listening to Transformative Principle for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students, and yet so many of our EdTech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research-proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/B for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE.
So one of the things I want to talk about is chapter 2 talks about communicating how much you care. And this is, you have a series of questions in there that I want to just go over, and I'm going to read them here for you. This is basically the inner monologue of questions that we ask. And you, what you say in there is, when we try to deliver this information during a staff or department meetings, we tend to get sidetracked by another challenge of focus on ourselves. We're all human, and we're all highly sensitive to the way we're being perceived by the people around us. Are they listening? Am I being funny enough? Do I have spinach in my teeth? So-and-so didn't say hi to me. Why hasn't you know who shown up yet? Is she ignoring me? This inner monologue distracts us from focusing on the people in front of us. And then you go on and talk about the people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is a cliche, but it is true that people do need to know that you care. So how do you get out of your own head as a principal, especially in the beginning, when everybody is literally judging you on what you do in your first staff meeting, first time with them, all that kind of stuff? How do you counsel people to get out of their own head with that? Because everybody has those doubts. Everybody has that imposter syndrome. What's your advice there?
There's a number of ways we could take it. Like prior to it, you can visualize it going really, really well, you know, and sort of practice, and practice makes perfect type of thing. So that's one way potentially. You could also think about like the worst case scenario too, and the whole staff starts throwing tomatoes at your head and you get smashed, because that's not good. You know, it's not never going to happen. So
yeah, because nobody brings tomatoes to school planning to throw them at the principal and staff meeting.
Not these days, but wait till 2024. I heard principals are in for quite a surprise. Yeah. But you know, I like to sometimes envision like worst case scenarios, not to be doom and gloom, but because I prepare, right? And sort of Stoic philosophy, they definitely embrace that that process too. They called it negative visualization. But then when you hit something hard, it's like, oh, this is actually kind of easy, and it's not as bad as I imagined. And I think a lot of people could relate to that. As tough as you ever think that thing might be, it's actually not never that bad as you envision it. So you could do those couple of things. And then I don't know how to get somebody to release it. Like, this is where I think coaching is quite helpful. I know the question to ask is, what would it take for you to hold this first staff meeting or whatever with an open hand, right? To not be so attached to that outcome and all that kind of stuff. It'd be very interesting and revealing how a school leader might answer. And from there, we could create a personalized process. But notice in that question too, Jethro, I said like the outcome, right? And so I would also encourage a school leader to not obsess so much about outcomes, because those are never in your control, but the inputs, right? So all those things to lead up to the staff meeting before the people are judging you, whatever's in your control, are you giving your personal best? And if you are, then you got to let the cards fall as they may. You and I both have had some challenging experiences within systems, and that just happens no matter how much you prepare, how, you know, positive you are, and how much of an impact you want to have. Sometimes you just kind of get a rough hand dealt to you too. And so part of that is picking yourself up and learning from those challenging experiences. So is that helpful, or should we keep jamming on that?
I think that that's good. I think the key piece here is that focusing on the inputs is really the only place that you can do anything about. Like, no matter how good your entry plan is, or whatever you're trying to do in your school, no matter how hard you're working at it, you can only control yourself and what you're actually doing. And you can't control how it's received. You can't control how it's implemented. You can't control whether or not it actually works. You know, one of the things that you talk about on here is focusing on academic achievement. And you can focus on that all you want, but you as the principal are pretty far removed from that. And so you're not the one there teaching the kids. And ironically, we feel like we have to do so many other things, but we recognize very readily that the principal can't teach all the kids all the subjects in every school. And and yet that's what we try to do with other things. So I appreciate that. What else would you say about focusing on the inputs as you're putting together this 90-day entry plan? What would you say would be the inputs you should really be focusing on?
Well, you know, I think there's like five categories within the framework. So I don't know if that is exactly what you're looking for, but those categories, you know, there's a common theme in my work. It always starts with you, the individual school leader. And so there's a lot there. And something just to touch on is what I call the ruckus maker mindset tool, just the fundamentals, right? So you're eating, you're sleeping, moving, meditating, unplugging. And again, all those things are under your control, right? So if you're getting enough rest, right, putting good fuel in your body and all this kind of stuff, then you're going to probably be showing up just with the energy, right, and vitality on campus that is inspirational and attractive, right? And it's going to lead to results. The other parts of the framework are communication, academics, culture, and operations. And so, you know, those are some of the big broad inputs that you could focus on, and we could get as detailed as you'd like, but at least people know the framework.
Yeah. Talk about why you think operations should be last in this instead of first.
Yeah.
Because my perspective and what I hear from a lot of people is teachers and principals included, is that If you don't have that, the security and predictability of the operations down first, then you're going to, people aren't going to feel safe. They're not going to feel like they're trusted, or you trust, or that they can trust you. They're going to feel like the wheels are falling off. But why does it come last here?
You know, part of it is everything else builds on top of each other and leads to that piece, right? And what I find, like you said, is that school leaders sort of default to the operational side, the day-to-day, just operating a building and making sure it's running. And it's so easy to get there. But if you think about the significant and legacy type work you want to do as a school leader on campus, it's not found probably in operations. It is just, it's basically the permission to play sort of level as Pat Lencioni would call it, it's like it needs to happen, but it's not 100% like significant, if that makes sense. The things that people will remember you for, the fingerprint, the mark that you leave on a campus and its culture is found in the other four parts. And so I know the default is people to jump into an operations first. So I put it last because I know people are going to get there anyways. I even taught this entry plan thing to people live, and I saw them do this anyways. They went to operations. I said, what about you? You know, what do you need this school year? And you work with tons of school leaders, right? I've supported a bunch as well. And leaders get tired. They get burnt out, right? They feel like they've been chewed up and spit out by the system. Many wonder, can I do it for even another year? Well, you certainly can't if you just live in operations and stay there all the time, just grinding the day to day, you know? So that's why I flipped the paradigm. And, you know, that's my approach.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because the thing you said was significant and legacy work is not found in operations. And even if we are not quote unquote egotistical, we still want to leave a mark and want the work that we do to be left behind. Yes. And even if we do something that is amazing in operations that could leave a mark, if those other four things aren't in place, as soon as we leave, that thing is going to leave as well, and nobody's going to stick with it.
100%. Yeah. And also 100% of leaders that I know got into, you know, the principalship, assistant principalship, because they wanted to have a bigger impact, right? So if you want to have that impact, you got to play in those other four parts of the framework and get to operations. So you get there for sure. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm just saying it's the last thing you focus on.
Yeah. I think the other thing, this goes back to the desire for control, that people focus on operations because they think that's something that they can control better. What's your response to that?
Maybe. I mean, I think you can certainly create strong systems, right? You could create processes on a campus, that kind of thing that could be taught to anybody on the street coming in, like saying, this is the way we do it here at Transformative Principle, for example. But, you know, the outcomes, again, are very difficult to control. So, yeah, that's flip the paradigm. Slow things down, put yourself first. Like, you are worth the investment. If you're in it for the long haul, right? If you're playing a longer game, this is the approach of sustainability. If you don't want burnout, right? And you want an abundance of energy, you know, this is the way to prepare. And to be clear, right? I said you could read the book in an hour, gift yourself 3 hours of deep work time. So now you have two to create your entry plan, at least a draft. Operations is a part of that within the 2 hours. So it's not like you don't get to it until November. Yeah. No, you get to it before school. You get to it on day one, first week, and all that kind of stuff. It's just in your thinking, right? The layers of the onion, so to speak. It's you, communication, academics, culture, operations. You get to it. It's just the last part.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that approach. Also talk about how you broke it up into things before school starts, first day of school, first day of staff, first day of school, first month. Like, what are you thinking around that?
For sure. And that's where that book you mentioned, The First 90 Days, influenced me the most, right? So the way the book, I guess, is set up in the process is a similar model where you have before the school year starts, and I call that setting the stage. Then you have the first day of school, and you really want to focus on that first full day, because that is an incredible opportunity that you never will get back. And you really just want to have a strong start to the school year and an awesome first day. Week one to me is all about focusing on relationships. I don't know about you. I'm sure you did, but told your staff, hey, you don't have to get to the assessments and evaluation and curriculum. You know, take a week, at least a week minimum, to build relationships. And it's back to the cliche, right? People don't care how much you know until you know how much you care. But it's true. It's true. And it's true not only for teachers and students. It's true for the principal building relationships with all stakeholders that first week. And then in month one, I call it take it all in. So it's a lot of listening and learning and observing. Month two is about vision and goals. And so now you're really introducing like the direction, right, over the next 3 years, let's say, and the goals that you want to hit. And then month three is really about progress and planning. So you're reviewing what you've been able to accomplish, you know, within the first 90 days, and then make adjustments where needed to do it again, do it all over again.
Yeah. So what are the challenges that people face when they're going through the book of actually getting the entry plan done and making it something meaningful?
Well, so there's a filled out template, which focuses and aligns to things that we teach within the book. So for example, you know, the filled out template might say, hey, fill out your ruckus maker mindset tool to make a plan over the next 90 days. And in month three, you know, you might be reviewing that tool to see how you're doing and what adjustments will be made. So one of the challenges is, you know, it's connected to the content, but it's not that it would be impossible to create a universal, like, here's your 90 days, right? Mm-hmm. Like for your campus, each campus is different in the needs and, you know, the students that are served and whatever. And so there's some big buckets, right? And suggestions, invitations to consider what to include in your plan, but it's not going to do the work for you. So if you're not willing to roll up your sleeves, also don't buy the book. Like, you're not going to get the results if you're not going to do the work. I love to say ideas are great, but not the greatest. And that's because action is the best, right? You need to implement the ideas. And that's why the book's so short to deliver that result. But then you need to, you know, I'll get you to whatever they say, the 5-yard line or whatever. We're in the red zone, to use an American metaphor, football. Mm-hmm. And if you want to score the touchdown, like, you gotta finish the job there. I think the other challenges too would be not blocking off time to like do deep thinking, strategic thinking about it. Another challenge and mistake would be to do it all on your own. You know, I think a principal could create a draft, but then bring it to your team to see what adjustments, you know, you're just a person, you make mistakes, you might've missed something. So that would be another challenge if you just do it all on your own. And then speaking of all on your own, you know, you support school leaders in group settings and so do I. So I would say get yourself surrounded by other school leaders that are really effective and super smart and innovative, that can push you, challenge you, ask great questions, help you not miss anything, and really build the perfect principal entry plan. So I think those are some of the challenges. Just make sure you take action. It'd be so silly to read the book, create a plan, and then get into the day-to-day busyness and be like, oh, abandon ship, you know?
Yeah.
And some people will do that, but that's here's an example. Would you like an example?
Yes, please.
So it's not school related. It's Danny Bauer related, but I have a system for completing tasks, knowing what I need to work on, and just getting stuff done. And generally, people know me as somebody who gets a lot of things done, right? It's pretty productive mm-hmm. and efficient. And then I don't know why, maybe it's because just like desiring more analog solutions or something. I started like creating to-dos on paper and sticky notes versus, you know, how I manage stuff online. And all of a sudden I kind of had three systems going at once, and I abandoned what always worked for me. And I felt so stressed out. I felt like I was drowning, felt like a loser because I wasn't getting stuff done like I usually do. And once I said, oh, I've created these new systems, how silly, and went back to the old way that I always did it and was successful for me, everything's normal now again.
Yeah.
So I would say, right, like, it's really easy. Ooh, let me read this. Let me read that, blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, you fracture your focus. You know, you're pulled in a million different directions. So if you do the work to read and create the entry plan, then implement it and ignore the rest of the noise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How do you suggest people ignore the noise, because the noise is very loud and it often involves teachers, parents, students, supervisors, superintendents, school boards saying, this is what you should be doing. How do you turn all that off when all those stakeholders do matter and we want to help them find success?
Yeah, well, I would say involve those stakeholders earlier in the process so that they have voice on the plan, and just let people know once the train is out of the station, so to speak, right? There's no slowing it down. And this is the plan we're going to execute and have some strong boundaries around there. You could, you know, saying no could be hard for principals. So you might say something like, oh my gosh, super important stakeholder, I would love to include that in the entry plan. But as you know, you are invited and participated and created in our 90-day entry plan. We're going to execute that with fidelity, like nobody's ever executed an entry plan before. What I can promise you is that even though it's a no for the first 90 days, I think this is a great idea that we could look to incorporate in the next 90 days. And, you know, to me, that is like the punchline of the book, the fact that you do an entry plan. So we have all the school leaders, very few coached, mentored, have a template to create the entry plan. Even fewer have had that and have an entry plan. And even fewer have that entry plan, execute it, and then do it again. You could do it 4 times throughout the year. And that's the best part. Like, it never stops. You now have the framework for sustainable school success. So maybe that should be another book. Well, all right. Can I be super silly? You could edit this out if you don't like it anyways. So I'd have to look up the title, but I verified this is true. So the title is generally like what men know about what female, like what women want when it comes to, you know, intercourse and sex and this kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So people open up the book, it's blank. Yes. It's totally blank. And so I'm just laughing because maybe sustainable school success is step one, buy, build leadership momentum. Step two, do that process 4 times in the year, right? Like, and it could just be 1 page. So feel free to cut that if it's not good for the show.
It's all good. I have heard of that book, and yes, it's funny, but it's also like the profound truth there is that it requires a blank slate and recognizing that you don't know anything to then start to create and understand something. And there are parallels there as well. But the thing is like you've gone to school. Like, here's what I hear all the time from principals. My master's program didn't prepare me for this. And that's what I hear all the time. And the reality is that there's very little that you can learn in your classes to say, this is what you actually do. What I love about your book is that it actually says, here's a way to do it, and bring in all these stakeholders and say, this is what we're doing. What do you think? Is this going to work? And do you think this is the right direction? Now, when you're aligned with your superintendent, amazing things can happen because they know where you're going and what you're trying to do. Then if you're aligned with your teachers, then that just impacts and expounds. And I've seen principals go into schools and not get anything done because the principal was over here and everybody else was over in these other areas and they could not get in an agreement. But when everybody's aligned and knows what you're doing, then amazing things can happen. And it just takes a little bit of communication. And that's really what it comes down to. And then once you communicate, even if you're not aligned, you at least know that before the school year starts. And maybe you can, you know, decide maybe this isn't the right district. Maybe I shouldn't be a principal here because they want us to focus 100% on this. And I can't wrap my head around how this over here is not a better solution. Mm-hmm. So I think those are important. Good point. So where do we get the book and what do we get if we... What bonuses do we get? Because I know you're all about doing some great stuff for people who buy your books.
I try to do that, you know, set self apart a little bit and that kind of thing. But you could get the book if you just go to buildleadershipmomentum.com And that will redirect you to the Better Leaders, Better Schools website where you can purchase, well, you could choose. You could do, one copy, five copies, or 25. Or if you're a system and you want to order more than 25, I'll give you a deal so shockingly good, it will blow the socks right off your feet. Okay. What? Yes. Yeah. Why not? I don't know what that is, but I'll give you an incredible deal. All right. So if you buy one copy and you live in the States or Canada, I will autograph that book, drop it in the mail, snail mail, and it will show up. By the way, if you don't want the print book or you live outside US and Canada, you can get the ebook and the audiobook, no problem. And that'll get automatically delivered to you. For one copy, another bonus is how to end the year like a pro training, right? So here we are, we're recording at least May 15th. And so definitely people are winding down the school year. Great time to think about that and think about the start to next year. And so there's a video training there. You get the fillable and blank PDF that's talked about within the book. And you get something which I'm pretty excited about. I do have a first year principal checklist that goes all 12 months of the year and is fairly detailed. So that I think is super helpful, specifically first year principals, but I think veterans will learn some stuff too. So that's the one copy. If you get five copies, you get all that stuff plus a 30-minute coaching call with yours truly, but that's limited to the first 20 book buyers. And then if you get 25 copies, you get everything I talked about. So all the stuff plus the coaching call. And what I'm doing is a VIP day with me, with where I live, August 12th in Syracuse, New York. You've been there. You've been there as a VIP. I brought you to a great pizza place, right?
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
We saw the sights.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that, except there'll be more than just Jethro. And we'll do a morning mastermind session. Live with people somewhere downtown. We're going to go. There's a beautiful state park called Green Lakes. It's so gorgeous. So we'll go around there, just do a little bit of hiking. And I think, I'm getting my two-year, I'm in a program, a two-year mindfulness and meditation certification program. So I'm going to lead a guided meditation in nature, which I think will be really cool for people. And then in the afternoon, we're just going to do individual coaching sessions because this is only for 10 or fewer people. So a lot of individual time. And then my favorite Syracuse brewery is called Buried Acorn. And so we're going to finish with a celebratory drink there for whoever wants to do that. And that's for the 25 copy buyers. So buildleadershipmomentum.com.
Awesome. Well, those sound pretty amazing for any of those bonuses. And buying 25 copies is only $375. So
I mean, if you were going to do a VIP day with me in person, like that would be thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if we just coach one session virtually, that's like, well, just it's a great deal. Let's just say that.
That is a great deal. That's the point.
Who cares? Yeah. So I hope to see some people there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Buildleadershipmomentum.com. Danny, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I appreciate all you do for school leaders, and most importantly for your friendship. I don't know if people know this, but you and I talk like every 2 weeks regularly, and it is a highlight of 100%. My week all the time. And I just really appreciate you. And what people probably don't know is that those kinds of relationships are so worthwhile. If you don't have a friend that you're talking with regularly like that, especially I got a text from somebody the other day, and they're like, "Hey, Jethro, do you mind, like, we're competitors, do you mind if I send some people to your thing and see how that works?" And I was like, competitors, I think we're more collaborators than anything. If we're in the same space helping school principals, we are collaborators. And that is how you and I, since 2016, seriously, that's when we first met and talked on the phone.
And
we both were like, kind of like shy and like, do I tell everything to this guy? And now we're like sending stuff to each other regularly to help ourselves improve. So I just think that's turned into a beautiful thing over these last 6-7 years, and grateful for that. for that friendship. So thank you.
Yeah. No, of course, man. I feel the same way. The only thing you don't have access to is my bank account and social security number at this point. I know you have a plan, so maybe one day, day you'll get those.
We'll see. We will see. All right, man. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's IXL.com/BE.